The decorations may be up and the holiday parties in full swing, but for many public radio listeners from coast to coast, it just doesn't feel like the holiday season without Paul Winter's annual winter solstice celebration. For 3 decades, Paul Winter and his consort have gathered, with a few thousand friends, in the world's largest Gothic cathedral to mark the winter solstice and herald a new year. Just ahead, Paul's guests include Russia's Dmitry Pokrovsky Singers, African drummers from the Forces of Nature Dance Ensemble, the remarkable gospel singer Teresa Thomason, and you, if you'll keep that radio on. I'm John Schaefer. Stay with us for the 30th annual Paul Winter Solstice Celebration. The Winter Consort Winter Solstice celebrations are like any get-together of family and friends. You may have some of the same people, but the party's always different. This year, Paul Winter has invited some old friends to return to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, including this remarkable Russian ensemble, the Dmitry Pokrovsky Singers. If you've listened to these solstice performances before, chances are you've heard their voices, earthy and vital and somehow timeless. In fact, they are the keepers of an ancient form of outdoor village singing from northern Russia. Now that's an unlikely partnership for the Paul Winter Consort, with its sunny blend of jazz, Brazilian, and classical music. But the story of how the two groups came together is a real doozy. It's a story of global goodwill, Soviet subterfuge, and cabbage, Paul Winter explains.
We were booked in a concert at Moscow University in September of 86. It was at the end of our first tour of the then Soviet Union. And a friend of mine, a Russian friend, who was a jazz writer, Leonid Pereversev, he loved the Pokrovsky Ensemble and felt that there was some kinship between our two groups. And he connived, which is the only way you got anything done in the Soviet Union then, with a friend whom he never would identify, who was on the Central Committee, who somehow got permission for us to be the first Western group allowed into Moscow University and to do a concert with the Pokrovsky Ensemble for the newly formed Moscow University Ecology Club, which was an unheard of phenomenon. And they wanted to somehow do a stage setting that would express something about ecology. So they had the stage ringed with these giant cabbages, the biggest ones I'd ever seen. And it was so touching, all these cabbages around the stage, and it was a way to, you know, to say this celebrates nature. And we heard the Pokrovskys that night, and we were just blown away.
Even before the fall of the Soviet Union, Paul Winter was eager to include the Dmitry Pokrovsky Singers in his annual solstice celebrations. In the late 80s, that meant using their voices on tape. And while recording the ensemble, inspiration struck.
When I first went to Russia, went back to record the Pokrovsky Ensemble in the spring of 87, a few months after we had first performed with them, I had this notion of a south-north interaction. And I thought if I could bring some African and Brazilian percussion recordings and see how they might sing over them, maybe, you know, that could be a start toward this idea I had.
The idea bore fruit in the album Earthbeat. Such a cliche to say that someone was a bear of a man, especially a Russian man, but Dmitry Pokrovsky was a larger-than-life character, and he really did look somewhat like the proverbial Russian bear. His commitment to preserving and transmitting Russian folk song was profound, but Pokrovsky died unexpectedly in 1996, and it took 6 more years before his singers could get official permission to continue using his name. In 2002, the Dmitry Pokrovsky Singers returned. Like the winter solstice, the ensemble itself has become a symbol of renewal and hope after a dark time. So it's doubly appropriate that they're here this year to help Paul Winter celebrate his 30th anniversary at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. And now the cathedral is filled, as it is every year, with thousands of global villagers, and we're ready for this year's journey through the longest night of the year, the winter solstice. Paul Winter's solstice concerts here at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine have traditionally begun with an arrangement of the centuries-old carol, Tomorrow Will Be My Dancing Day. This 30th anniversary celebration features some new additions and some rarities from the Winter Consort's back catalog, but some things remain the same, and this song is one of them. Welcome to an NPR holiday tradition featuring the Paul Winter Consort in a winter solstice celebration. Joined by the gospel singer Teresa Thomason, Russia's Dmitry Pokrovsky Ensemble, African drums from the Forces of Nature Dance Theater, and the voices of whales, wolves, and, speaking of wildlife, a few thousand New Yorkers, here in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. I'm John Schaefer with the Winter Solstice broadcast produced by Murray Street, New York, with Living Music for NPR Music. Paul Winter Consort opening our 30th annual solstice celebration with that traditional carol, Tomorrow Will Be My Dancing Day. These solstice concerts, of course, are all about looking ahead to the lengthening days after the long solstice night of December 21st.
Please welcome Teresa Thomason.
And we look ahead to that with Paul Halley's Cathedral Classic, sung by Teresa Thomason. It's a song of renewal called Sound Over All Waters.
Reach out from all were sung by the stars of the morn, and sing songs of the angels when Jesus was born. With glad jubilation, bring hope to the nation.
Beginning with a folk song from Russia's Kursk region, the Dmitry Pokrovsky Ensemble and the Paul Winter Consort had an unexpected hit with this song, Kursky Funk. Winter and company created an instrumental work to accompany the Pokrovsky's voices, and the results have been a favorite of Solstice audiences ever since. But it's now become a global phenomenon as the theme song to the TV series Survivor.
Hey!
Dmitry Pokrovsky Ensemble. From Russia, with love. The English horn is one of the instruments of the symphony that I've always loved, and when I was forming our first consort 40 years ago, I dreamed of having it in the ensemble, and we were very lucky to find a wonderful double reed player who became a charter member of the first consort, and we're thrilled that he's back with us to play a new piece featuring English horn. Nobody plays it better. Paul McCandless.
Thank you.
Sunderland is the name of that song, a song without words, but with the lyrical tone of Paul McCandless's English Horn. In addition to the musicians and singers, the cathedral itself is an important part of the sound of these solstice concerts. This next piece, Sunsinger, was written in 1983 here to take advantage of the remarkable acoustics, where sounds can reverberate for more than 8 seconds. Although Paul Winter can play it almost anywhere, this piece is at home, literally, in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. Here's Sunsinger.
Thank you.
Sun Singer, written by Paul Winter, and played here in the space it was written for, the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. In a moment, a musical rarity from the Paul Winter Consort's early days, and our annual musical journey through the longest night of the year. From NPR Music, Murray Street, and Living Music, you're listening to Paul Winter's Winter Solstice Celebration. This is NPR's broadcast of the 30th annual Paul Winter Consort Winter Solstice Celebration. One of the challenges of doing these concerts for so long is keeping them fresh, and this next piece, a fixture of these solstice events, is all about capturing the excitement of the new. Here's First Ride. Thank you.
Gene Friesen on cello, Paul Sullivan on keyboard, and First Ride.
Paul Winter has spent the first part of this year's Solstice Concert introducing us to his musical guests. That's part of the tradition of these annual events. But this 30th anniversary edition of the Winter Solstice Celebration also features some elements that have never been part of the festivities before. In 1972, the consort's founding guitarist, Ralph Towner, wrote a beautiful song called Silence of a Candle. It was recorded on the consort's hit album, Icarus. But as far as Paul Winter can recall, they never played the song live. That changes now. And this may well become another Teresa Thomason classic. Here's Silence of a Candle.
There falls the words of fools about my ears. To hasten by the years, the journey that I make through myself. Travels that pass by me as I go my way, all reaching out to say their path can find the way to the truth. Answers everywhere, promising solutions to my fears, leading me to halls with no doors in the walls, and leave me in the darkness. But to close my ears to all would bar the way for those who've traveled through. Silence of a candle burning in my room speaks softly of a peaceful balance to be found just beyond the road within without a right or wrong, with lanes for only solely one must see and will know. Stillness that resounds, singing songs of hope to light my way, drawing me near to a path. And the voice within the candle whispers of a timeless peace that lies beyond. And the voice within the candle whispers of a timeless peace that lies beyond.
Thank you.
That's Hymn to the Sun, a musical prayer or aspiration here in New York's Cathedral of St. John the Divine, as we mark the longest night of the year, but also the transition to the lengthening days that lead to spring. That's what Paul Winter, his band, and his guests celebrate each year in these winter solstice concerts. To experience the full majesty, you do have to be here in person, but you can find illuminating photographs and video and free MP3 downloads at nprmusic.org.
We'd like to take you with us now on our journey through the longest night of the year.
The first half of our broadcast concludes with one of the perennial highlights of the Winter Consort Winter Solstice Celebration. As the cathedral gets progressively darker, Paul Winter and friends take us on a musical journey through the longest night. Turning off your lights at home to get the full effect is purely optional. And if you're driving, don't even consider it.
Thank you.
This is the Paul Winter Consort's musical journey through the longest night of the year, a journey that's taken us through the depths of the ocean, through a forest of percussion instruments, and now into a musical storm within a completely darkened cathedral. It gives us just a hint of that mix of apprehension and expectation that people traditionally felt during the long night of the winter solstice.
Sloan on the Sun Gong.
As Paul Winter says, the sun is up. With Scott Sloan and the giant Sun Gong suspended 100 feet up in the air and reflecting a golden light down on us here in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. The Solstice Chant featured the Paul Winter Consort and their guests, Teresa Thomason, the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble, the Forces of Nature drummers, and oboist Paul McCandless. So ends our journey through the longest night. Just ahead, in the second half of this 30th annual Solstice Concert, Paul Winter and his guests celebrate the start of a new year and the longer days to come. We'll hear a few traditional holiday songs and songs that have become a part of this holiday tradition. The Paul Winter Solstice Broadcast is a production of Murray Street, New York, and Living Music, and NPR Music. Check out nprmusic.org to see Paul Winter's tales of his music and the places that inspire it. Paul Winter's Travels with a Microphone at nprmusic.org. We'll continue in a moment. Thank you. Its name is Miho, though its architect, I.M. Pei, calls it Shangri-La. It's a huge museum topped by glass and steel and set into a mountaintop outside the city of Kyoto, Japan. That is where Paul Winter and the consort recorded this piece. And they'll bring highlights from their Miho Museum project, as well as some very familiar holiday music, to the second half of this solstice celebration at New York's Cathedral of St. John the Divine. I'm John Schaefer, and from NPR Music, this is the Paul Winter Winter Solstice Celebration. The journey that brought Paul Winter to this cathedral 30 years ago actually began in 1963 when he first sat at the edge of the Grand Canyon, wondering what his horn might sound like, played a mile beneath him where the donkey's trail went. Winter decided that someday he'd bring his band and record there. 17 years later, Winter had his chance, and he found a better way to go.
We came to the canyon, but not on mules, having found out in the meantime that a better way to experience the entire 279-mile length of the canyon is on the river, on rafts. So we embarked on this three-week river rafting recording expedition, and that was part of the quest, is to find these amazing acoustic spaces. And it's just great fun to play in places where you can get echoes, which could lead you to think, well, maybe the earth is answering me.
The American West provided another magnificent setting for Paul Winter's music. North Crestone Lake sits almost 2 miles high in Colorado's Sangre de Cristo Mountains. The acoustics on parts of the lake, especially the parts near the mountain's rock walls, are phenomenal, Winter says. But getting there required another tricky rafting expedition. This track, All My Relations, was one of the results. That's from Paul Winter's record, Crestone. For a musician so interested in rich acoustics, getting the chance to play in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine seems like a gift from the universe. So you might be surprised to learn that it was a gift that Paul initially refused, several times. Impressed with the space, and perhaps a little in awe of it, Winter politely but firmly refused three invitations from the cathedral's dean, the Reverend James Parks Morton, to play there. You'd have to have special music to bring there, Winter told him, and we're not ready yet. Ironically, it was at a conference in Crestone that Paul Winter changed his mind. The dean, hearing Winter talk about arranging the music of Bach for the consort, invited him to do it at the cathedral.
And I couldn't say no, because Bach is certainly worthy of being played in the cathedral. So it was on Bach's coattails that we got into the cathedral for the first time and did that event, and then we really felt at home.
This piece, Sun Singer, was written in the cathedral's remarkable ambience in 1983, and to this day it's a regular part of the winter solstice concerts here. Paul Winter's search for resonant places hasn't stopped. In fact, this year he released an album recorded in a new space in Japan. I.M. Pei's Miho Museum is literally built into a mountain near Kyoto. The shapes and echoes of that space, and the somehow organic way that glass and steel seem to grow out of the mountainside, inspired the album Miho, Journey to the Mountain.
Over a three-year period, I went there a number of times, played my horn in all these spaces, found another sonic temple, an extraordinary octagonal stone room that has like a 5-second reverberation, but more than the length of it, there are so many reflections happening that the sound is so rich that it's thrilling.
This piece, recorded in that unusual room in the Miho Museum, is called Kivu. ¶¶ In a moment, Paul Winter transfers some of the music made for the Miho Museum to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, another of his favorite sonic temples. And check out nprmusic.org to see Paul Winter's tales of his music and the places that inspire it. Paul Winter's Travels with a Microphone at nprmusic.org. Right now, it's time to rejoin the consort and their guests for the rest of our winter solstice broadcast. After almost 40 years, this song, Icarus, remains the Paul Winter Consort's signature tune. And for 30 years, the consort and their guests have marked the winter solstice and the lengthening days of the new year with these annual concerts. From NPR Music, we're celebrating the winter solstice at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. The cathedral's in New York City, but we'll hear music from around the world. Sounds from West Africa and the Far East, from Northern Russia and South America. This song actually went to the moon with the Apollo 15 astronauts. They named a crater after it. This is Icarus from the Paul Winter Consort. That's the Paul Winter Consort with their 1972 hit, Icarus. Now, something much more recent. This song to Miho appears on Paul Winter's 2010 album called Miho, Journey to the Mountain. It's a tribute to Japan's Miho Museum, a rich and reverberant place where this piece was originally recorded. It also serves as a prelude to a rarity from the consort, a performance of Lay Your Burden Down from the classic 1978 album Common Ground.
Oh,
dance to the music in your soul. Look into the eyes that really see.
As one year ends and another begins, it's often time for reflection. Lay Your Burden Down is the name of that song, singer Teresa Thomason in a reflective mood. This piece has been played by orchestras all over the world. It's the Russian composer Alexander Borodin's work on the steppes of Central Asia. Paul McCandless presents some variations on this popular classical theme. Paul McCandless, the original oboist from the Paul Winter Consort, with his variations on a classical favorite, Borodin's On the Steppes of Central Asia. McCandless originally performed this music in the Miho Museum in Japan, and it appears on the new Paul Winter CD called Miho, Journey to the Mountain. The piece itself is a musical portrait of the vast plains of Siberia, and that leads us neatly into this bit of Russian village music from the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble, with the consort providing some complimentary lines and harmonies. Green Dreams, featuring the Paul Winter Consort and the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble here at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. These winter solstice concerts are always a journey of sorts, but right now the musicians are taking us back and forth between the Miho Museum in Japan and the sounds of Russian folk song. This piece, Remembering, was written by Paul Winter for the album Miho, Journey to the Mountain. If you're wondering why he found the place so inspirational, it's because the architect, I.M. Pei, created a museum that Winter describes as architecture and landscape in perfect harmony. Built on a mountain in a nature preserve outside Kyoto, Winter says they essentially took the top of the mountain off, built the museum, and then put the top of the mountain back on. Photos, online or with the Miho album, give you a good idea of how the museum looks. Paul Winter's music is meant to give you an idea of how it sounds. Paul Winter's Remembering, one of a trio of new additions to this year's Solstice Concert, taken from his 2010 release, Miho, Journey to the Mountain, written for and originally recorded in the Miho Museum in Japan. This performance from the Cathedral of St. John the Divine is part of a set that's taken us on a musical journey between Russia and Japan. And the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble now rejoins the Winter Consort to do a traditional Russian wedding song. Here's Down in Belgorod.
Yeah.
down in Belgorod from the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble and the Paul Winter Consort. This is the 30th anniversary edition of the annual Winter Consort Winter Solstice Celebration. The grand finale is still to come, so stay with us. This is NPR's annual broadcast of the Paul Winter Consort Winter Solstice Celebration. I'm John Schaefer. The final portion of our concert features a medley that'll be an old audio friend to many listeners. But first, on stage at the nave of the cathedral, alone in a beam of light, here's Teresa Thomason with another favorite, one that seems appropriate coming after our earlier journey through the longest night. The rain is over and gone.
The rain is over and gone, and the winter's passing by. The time for singing. And the clouds have parted from the sky. Arise, my love, and come away.
Arise, my love, my fair one.
on the earth again, and the time for singing has come. Arise, my love, and come away, for now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, over, gone.
Teresa Thomason singing The Rain Is Over and Gone in New York's Cathedral of St. John the Divine. Now it's time for Paul Winter's annual closing medley of solstice songs. Over the past 30 years, we've heard this next tune sung in English, Gaelic, Armenian, Russian, Portuguese, and a number of other languages. This year, the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble joins the Paul Winter Consort for Silent Night. Paul Winter and the Consort with Song for the World, another recurring feature of these annual winter solstice celebrations. This is the 30th anniversary solstice concert, so you can bet that people here in the cathedral know what's coming next. The piece Wolf Eyes, another classic from the Paul Winter songbook, is basically a duet between Winter's sax and the taped voice of a North American wolf. Until the audience gets involved. Then it's a grand chorale. That'll lead directly into our traditional finale, the West African chant, Minuit, and the even more traditional year-end song, Auld Lang Syne. At that point, the entire cast will be on stage at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. For the moment, though, in a mostly darkened cathedral, it's the nocturnal cries of the wolf and the song of Paul Winter's sax.
Thank you.
medley of the West African chant Minuit and the traditional New Year's song Auld Lang Syne, performed by the Paul Winter Consort with the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble, the drums and ensemble of the Forces of Nature Dance Theater, oboist Paul McCandless, singer Teresa Thomason, and the splendid acoustics of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York. And if you come to Gotham, we hope you'll get to see this amazing cathedral. Meanwhile, you can find pictures and video of this event at nprmusic.org. Our producers are Steve Rath with Alexa Lim and David Bales. Music mixes by Dixon Van Winkle and Paul Winter. Our station liaison, Matthew Long Middleton. For NPR Music, Anya Grundman and Soraya Mohammed. Our thanks to WNYC, New York Public Radio, and to the staff of Living Music. The Paul Winter Solstice Broadcast is a production of Murray Street, New York, with Living Music and NPR Music. I'm John Schaefer. From all of us, best wishes for the holiday season and the new year.